Good morning. Glad to see everyone this morning. We want to welcome all of our guests. Good to have you with us. I hope you can come back. We've been doing a series in Ephesians, and we're continuing that. First few weeks, we've been talking about what Paul said Christ has done for us, what God the Father has done for us in Christ. And now, as he does in his epistles, Paul's going to talk about what we're to do. And this morning we're going to talk about being one in Christ. We're not like bananas. We don't come in a bunch. God made us all unique. It says in the book of Acts, Paul in one sermon said, God from one man made all nations. And we're all different. We're all created by the same God. In this room here, we have Democrats and Republicans. We have different ideologies. Every one of us have a fingerprint that's a unique signature of ours. There's no other one like it in the whole world. Our DNA is the same way. We have different opinions, different beliefs. We've been raised in different, maybe different cultures, different ideologies, but we come together in Christ. And God wants us to be one. And sometimes we think, how can we do that when we're so different? We have so many differing opinions. And we're going to talk today about being one in Christ and what that means. In fact, the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about being one. Did you know that God intends the Christian marriage to reflect the Christian life? And the church, the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church, so husband and wives are to be one. I know a lot of you guys are thinking, ain't no way, Jose. You know, you don't know my wife. Families, Christian families were to be one. And yet we're all unique and we're all different. And we'll make up excuses why we can't be one. We can't be one. We all have different opinions. Well, since the Lord's asked us to be one, commands us to be one, and has equipped us to be one, it is feasible, and we need to do it. This is a command. This is not a request. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. We're reading out of the English Standard Version this morning. We have the word on the wall, especially for our guests. That way we're all reading the same translation. It says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who has descended is the one who has ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when one part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Father, I thank you that your word never comes back to you empty, but it'll accomplish what you send it out to do. Let your word have its way here this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take this sword that is yours and use it to lay our hearts bare before you. Show us where we are lacking. Build us up where we are weak. Encourage us, Lord, that we may stand strong before you, as the song said this morning, me and God. Lord, I ask if anyone here today that needs to make a decision to join themselves unto Christ, that this will be the day of salvation. I ask that you bind any spirit here of dissension and disruption. And Father, that the truth of your word will settle into our hearts through the Spirit of truth and through the truth itself. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. As I said, we're all different. We're all unique. The proof is how many churches are in this country now? All profess Christians. But we have Baptist Christians, Methodist Christians, Nazarene Christians, Catholic Christians. The list goes on and on and on, which shows that we are separate in our thoughts. We don't always agree with everything, so we tend to congregate with people of like mind. And even when we do that, you'll find disagreements in the body of Christ. And for that reason, we'll throw our hands up and say, well, we'll never be one until we all reach the kingdom of heaven, where there'll be no Baptists and Methodists and Nazarenes and Catholics. We'll all just be one big family. But the point is that God commands us to be one. It's pertinent to the health of the body of Christ that we are one. It doesn't mean we don't have differing opinions and ideas. But he does command us to be one, and not only does he command it, he's enabled us to. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The goal of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. Anytime people glorify the gifts of the Spirit, that's not the Holy Spirit doing that. He is here to glorify Jesus Christ. He's not here to glorify the church. He's not here to glorify the preacher or anything in the church. He's here to glorify Jesus Christ. Jesus said he will take things that are mine and he will show them to you. Jesus in his high priestly prayer prayed for unity in his body. He said, all mine are yours and yours are mine and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. Jesus was one with the Father, and in fact, when the leaders of the day complained about his preaching and his teaching, he said, the words that I speak aren't mine. I'm telling you what the Father told me to say. He said, the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness that he sent me. And Jesus said, the works that I do, I look to see where the Father's working. And that's where I work. Now, I'm paraphrasing that, but that was the idea behind it. They were so much one that Jesus said, when I speak, the Father's speaking to you. When I do these works, it's the Father doing that work. And one time, it almost got him killed, except it wasn't his time to go. They took up stones when he said, me and the Father are one. And the Greek can be translated one and the same. And you know, he desires that in the church. In this prayer, this section of prayer I read, he said, Father, I desire that they be one. How many believe Jesus gets your prayers answered? This means yes, this means no. Y'all are sitting around, this is a trick question. Jesus gets his prayers answered. Jesus wants his people to be one. But we can argue, but we're not one. We all got differing opinions. We argue among ourselves. You know, like a family. Me and my brother used to fight like cats and dogs, but nobody else better try to get into it. Because then we turned on that person. And in the church, sometimes we have that mentality. We get busy fighting with other churches because we don't like their interpretation of some things. Then how are we supposed to be one when we've been commanded to be one? When Jesus went to the cross, he said, I'm doing this so they'll be truly sanctified. Sanctified means set apart for this holy purpose. What holy purpose? Well, here he reveals part of it, that you be one. We have to be one in Christ to be effective for Christ. In fact, that when we become one, it shows there's a maturity in Christ and God can use us. But how do we do that? I'm going to get to that here in a little bit. Paul's going to get to it, actually. Jesus knew that the success of the church would depend largely on whether they would consent to be one. I submit to you this morning, we can be one when we will consent to give our will to Jesus Christ and let Him make it His. By this I mean we can differ in idea and opinion, but if the church, who is to possess the Spirit of Jesus Christ within us, that Spirit wishes to glorify Jesus Christ, that's His goal. If we will be led by that Spirit and not walk in the flesh, we can be one. Because our goal will be to glorify Jesus Christ. And that means if you and I have differing ideas of how this can be done, and your idea is better than mine, and I believe that's going to bring glory to Jesus Christ, as a Spirit-filled man, I should submit to that idea and say, that's a better idea. That will bring glory to Jesus Christ. But we don't do that. The Apostle Paul dealt with the church at Corinth on that very issue. They were a spiritual people, Spirit-filled people. Paul admitted that. He had preached the gospel there. He had been one of the men that was affected the start of the Corinthian church. He and Apollos, they'd been there for 18 months preaching the gospel, establishing churches, ordaining elders, getting the body set up and teaching. And Paul has to address an issue that's going on in that church that comes to his attention. You see, it's through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that the children of God can be one. That's how we accomplish that. But that means, as I said, you consent to walk by the Holy Spirit, not by the flesh. You see, Christian, you have a choice. Paul said the Spirit that's in us is always battling with our flesh. There's a struggle, a tug of war going on, and the Holy Spirit wants control, but He doesn't just come in and take control. You give it to Him. Because you're a free will creature. God made you that way. You can do what you want. Now, whatever you choose, you will bear the consequences of. The Bible says if you want to walk by the flesh, you'll reap death. This is spiritual death. This is eternal death. If you'll walk by the Spirit, and He said, by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh, then you'll live. It's like when God gave the Jews the law, He said, look, I'm offering you life and death. You choose life. Same choice, Christian. God says, here's your choice, life and death. I want you to choose life. And if we'll be led by the Spirit of God, we can be one. It doesn't mean we'll agree on everything. It doesn't mean that our opinions will change. But it means if we will be led by the Holy Spirit, we can be one because He wants to glorify Jesus Christ and see people come into the kingdom of God. And that's what our desire will be. Paul addressed the church of God in Corinth, and listen to what he says to them. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Oh, I like that. Paul, when he addresses this church, he said, you are sanctified in Jesus Christ. This is your reality. You have been set apart in Jesus Christ for this purpose to be saints. We don't like being called saints sometimes. That's a false humility. Oh, I'm no saint. Yes, you are. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're a saint. The Bible said you're a saint. And that means that I don't try to pull Christ down to my standards. I try to go up to His as a saint. So Paul said to the church of Corinth, you're called to be saints. That's your call. He said, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace God has given you in Christ Jesus. That in every way you are enriched by Him in all speech and knowledge. Paul goes on in the letter to say, you're called to be saints. God has enriched you with His strength, with His power, and with knowledge, and that's all through the person of the Holy Spirit. I talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. When I was a kid in the Christian church, I was like the Ephesian believers. I never heard if there was a Holy Spirit. That's just something we didn't talk about in the Christian church. Or we talked about Him like he was personified in the Word of God, but He didn't live in us. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He can be grieved. He can be happy. He can be joyful. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the teacher. He's the paraclete, one who comes along beside of you and defends you. and guides and leads you. And He is the one who enables us to be one in Christ. And Paul said to the church of Corinth, you are saints. God sanctified you. When He sanctifies you, He puts His Spirit in you and marks you as His possession, His child, His son, and His daughter. And Paul says to this church, I'm glad God did this for you. But here's the problem. They're having problems in the church, and Pastor Paul, through this Holy Spirit, is able to nail it right on the head of what the problem is. He cites the reasons they are not being effective as saints. Anytime the church is fighting among themselves and squabbling and taking sides, you're not being effective for the kingdom of heaven. God can't use you. God cannot use the thumb-sucking baby Christians to further the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's why He has filled us with His Spirit. That's why He has enabled us to hear the truth, to know the truth, and more importantly, to know Him. See, that's this new covenant. God said, they'll know Me. And I've told you that in the Hebrew and in the Greek, that word means experience Me. Not just a head knowledge. A lot of people know about Jesus in the church, but a lot of people in the church don't know Him. They've never experienced the life-changing power of Jesus Christ in their hearts. Or they won't allow Him to change their lives. They want just enough religion to get to heaven, but they don't want to change. Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and there be no divisions among you, that you may be united in the same mind and the same judgment. That's impossible, Pastor Paul. What you're asking is impossible. We're all different. We're individuals. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, Paul calls Him the mind of Christ. If everyone I'm looking at in this room is a child of God and you have the Spirit of Christ within you, you and I all have the same mind within us. We all have the mind of Christ. Now, whose mind are you letting rule in your life? That's the question. Paul said to these Christians, you are Spirit-filled saints, and God has enriched you with knowledge and with power through His Holy Spirit. But he said, you're ineffective. You're not doing anything for the kingdom of Christ. Here's why. Because there's divisions. Paul said, you need to be of the same mind. Well, how can we do that? You let the Word of Christ dwell in you. You obey what God says. You take up your cross and you follow Him. You die to self and you live Christ. You become one in mind through Jesus Christ. He said, you need to be of the same mind and judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is this. Each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul said, it's been brought to my attention that you're starting to get these schisms in the body, these divisions, cliques. And you're starting to compare preachers to preachers and teachers to teachers. And you're saying, I like this one. Boy, he's a good speaker. This guy, he's terrible. Even of Paul, they said, you know, his speech is contemptible. Paul said, I'm not a trained speaker. But they said, boy, his letters are powerful. You know, I'd rather get a letter from Paul than listen to him preach. And Paul said, you're saying, well, I'm with Apollos. And Apollos was a gifted speaker. Paul wasn't. Peter, I don't know what kind of speaker he was, but there were people in that church that said, I like Peter. I'd like to have him for our pastor. Paul kind of gets on my nerves. Paul steps on my toes. Paul never says anything I like. Like Ahab did that one prophet when King Jehoshaphat said, do you have any other prophets here? Because they're all saying, go get them, Ahab. And Jehoshaphat's going, I'm not getting a witness of this. Is there another man of God here? And he said, yeah, there's one, but I don't like him. He never says anything good about me. God help us, we get like that in the church sometimes. I've got a picture at home that was sent to me online, and this preacher's in the pulpit, and the people on the front are holding signs up. And one says, don't talk about hell, that scares me. Another one says, don't call my sins sins, call them mistakes. One says, remember how much money I give to the church? Another sign says, you better have programs for all my youth. You know, we come into the church saying, what's in it for me? Sometimes God has to tear you down in order to build you up. You think that's unscriptural? Read the scriptures. You're going to find that. When people really begin to seek the Lord and God says, you'll be found by me, He starts tearing things down so He can build them up. And in this church, there's a problem. Paul said, there's divisions among you. You're starting to take sides with teachers. Listen to what he says. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. They still belong to Christ. Paul doesn't say, well, you didn't get saved. You're not Christians. That's not what he says. But he said, you're babies. You're infants. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you not ready for it. What's the proof of that? You're fighting over the milk. You've taken the milk and think you've had the meat, and you're already picking sides. Later, he says, knowledge puffs up. You all have knowledge, but it puffs up. Love's what builds up. You got just enough knowledge to be dangerous, is what Paul's saying to this church. I fed you with milk. You haven't had the meat yet. And he said, you can't have it. You're babies. He says, even now you are not yet ready. For you are still in the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in human way? For one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Are you not being merely human? Well, wait a minute. Isn't that what we all are? We're merely human. We've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. So when God looks at me, all he sees is Jesus, because the blood screen's there and he can't see nothing but the blood. So when he looks at me, he sees Jesus. No. When you came to Jesus Christ, you were born again. You're a baby. My job and the teacher's jobs are to begin to feed you with milk. Your job is to take in that nourishment and to desire the sincere milk of the Word. You know why a lot of people don't come on Sunday night? They don't want to be fed. I'm just being honest with you. And I'm not going to force feed you. You know, we've talked about how do we get more people here on Sunday night. I'll tell you, you have to desire to be fed with the sincere milk of the Word. You have to want to be here and be fed. You have to want to grow in Christ. You have to put aside your Sunday night football game or whatever it is you're doing and come here and be fed. Now, I don't judge you for not coming, but I'm saying the desire is not there. You do what you want to do. All of us do that. We do what we want to do. You have to make time to be here and come prepared to eat. Not to be food judges. A lot of people come to church and act like they're judging a food contest. This is blue ribbon. I'm not even going to give that a ribbon. I didn't like that lesson. Didn't speak to me. Maybe you weren't listening. Paul said to this church, you're saints. You've been set aside by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's given you His Spirit. But he said, you know what the problem is? You're walking in the flesh. Paul said, how do I know that? Because you're fighting. You're jealous. You're quarreling. You're jockeying for position. There's no humility in that. The Spirit of Christ doesn't do that. Jesus said, who's greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? He said, I'm among you as one who serves. Rightfully, his place was at the table. But he said, I'm setting the example. I'm here as a servant. And in the church, he said, we're all to be of that same mind. Our pride gets in the way. Our flesh rises up. That's that part of our nature apart from the Holy Spirit. When we do what we think needs to be done, or what we think is God's will, and if you don't agree with us, that makes us so mad, we want to punch you right between the eyes. Or we want to talk bad about you. Or we want to split off in the church into these factions. Paul is saying to the church this morning, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Remember, we've spent the last several weeks talking about in Christ, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. He preordained the plan of salvation. God knew you before you were born. When you came to Christ, God elevated you into the same place that Christ is at the right hand of God. We have all things possible in Jesus Christ. Peter says that God has given us everything we need to be partakers of the divine nature. Where's that at? It's here, but we don't let it out. You have to let the Word of God have effect in your life and take effect in your life. Then you can be one. Then I can be one with you. It doesn't mean that I agree with you all the time. But you know what it means? It means that this whole body here says we're in this for the glory of Jesus Christ. We're here to disciple. We're here to win people to Jesus Christ. That's what our purpose statement says. We're going to use all of our gift and talents for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's a spiritual statement. That is a scripture-based statement. That's a good statement. Now we need to put it into practice. Talk is cheap. Church, we have to be one in Christ because Christ prayed for it. So that means we can be. How do we do that? We humble ourselves. God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear. Not when I pray and say, God, sister so-and-so is such a problem. I wish you'd shake her up. I remember one lady in a church I was in, her and this other lady got along like stray cats. Just here. And one day she came to me and was talking about that. And she said, I feel better because I've been praying that God will change this lady so we can get along. I said, oh, dear Lord. I said, I'll be praying for you. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. Yeah, not if you knew what I was going to be praying. What an attitude of the flesh. I'm not the problem. She is. That's a fleshly attitude. That's pride. That's why we have trouble in the church. I'm okay. Everybody else isn't. You know, if more people in this church were like me, woo, we'd get something done. Really. We just sit around and tell each other what we need to be done. You know, that's been my experience with a lot of people. You know what I think needs to be done in the church? Well, why don't you do it? Well, no, I'm not going to do it. I'll just tell you what I think needs to be done in the church. That's what we pay you for, isn't it? Paul said Jesus Christ, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He did that. On the cross, he triumphed over all the powers of darkness, over all the powers of evil. He is seated at the right hand of God, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. But he did something. In John 17, where I read that prayer, the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I don't want you to take them out of the world. Leave them in the world, but protect them from the world. And they need to be one. Father, I want them to be one, just as I am in you and you are in me. And later he says, and we will be in them. You see, the potential to be one's there because the Spirit of Christ is within every one of us. What we need to do, church, is quit saying, here's the plan, God bless it. We need to say, God, what's the plan? We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to seek Him. We need to seek Him with a mind of humility and repentance. We need to be honest enough to get before God and say, we have been walking in the flesh, God, and we repent of that, and we want to be led by your Spirit so we can be the children of God. Then you're going to start seeing things happen in this church. Not everybody's called to be a leader. You can't have all chiefs and no Indians. Well, I'm sorry, I guess that's not correct. Oh, well. Everybody can't be leaders. In fact, when Paul was talking about the gifts that Jesus Christ has poured out upon the church, he says, Jesus gave to the church through His grace to build up the church. That's what Jesus wants, is for His church to be built up, to be edified. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, which is elders, and teachers. When Jesus ascended on high as the victor, the Bible says He proportioned out gifts in the church. The Bible says the Spirit gives them as He wills. You don't get a wish list when you get saved. Say, Holy Spirit, I want this, this, and this. I saw a play once the Temple Baptist Church was doing, and the kids had this drive-up altar calls. And full up the window, yes, I'd like an order of salvation with no commitment. I want to be saved, but you can keep the change. Isn't that how we act? Well, as long as I believe in Jesus Christ, I know I'm going to heaven. I don't have to change. I can be the same old knothead I've been all my life. I can be opinionated, think I'm right, get mad at you if you don't think I'm right, and we're going to get along together. I've always said I'm going to find out who doesn't like me, and if I get to heaven, I'm going to live right next door to you. That's not a good attitude, is it? I'll tell you something that the Lord has done for me in the last 3 years. He has really impressed upon my mind His goal for this church is to make disciples. Every time I read that in the Word, it's like Jesus is speaking directly to me. Make disciples. And I will endeavor to do that with all the power of Christ that works in me until He says, okay, Rick, it's time for you to sit down. And this guy's going to get up and he's going to start making disciples from the pulpit. And you know, when I step out of this pulpit, I'm not going to quit. There's a lot of things I can do in Christ. I can go to nursing homes. I can go sit with the sick. I can go out there and preach on the streets if that's what God leads me to do. I'm not going to retire. I'll retire from this pulpit someday, but I'm not retiring from Christ. As long as I have breath in my body, I belong to Him. And His call is make disciples. It's so sad that Paul said to this church, I can't give you meat yet. And boy, I want to give you meat. God wants you to have meat. You know, when our kids are babies, it's cute. They act like babies, you know, and they're so cute. We brag about it to our friends. You know, he made a poo-poo. Isn't that cute? You know, everything's cute about the baby. But when they get big enough, they're supposed to be grown up and they act like babies. It's not cute anymore. It's aggravating. Stop acting like a baby. And sometimes in the body of Christ, we feel content never to grow. And when you're doing that, you're rebelling against God. Because He sent His Spirit here to live within you so you could grow and get to know Him. You see, the Bible says it's those who have by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Those are the people God will use in His service. He can't send a bunch of babies into battle. And sometimes that's where we're content in the body of Christ. Just give me enough to get into heaven. Don't expect me to change. Don't expect my Christianity to affect my marriage. Don't expect it to affect my job, because after all, you know, this is the cutthroat world we live in. And if you're going to get ahead, you got to be willing to step on people. But I'm still a believer in Jesus. Paul said you've been sanctified in Christ. You've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know, in the law, when you were redeemed from slavery, you actually belonged to the one that bought you? You could redeem slaves, and they were your servants. Now, you could give them their freedom if you wanted. Do you know that we've been called to serve? Jesus Christ set us free from slavery to sin and death and the world. But the Bible calls us slaves of Christ. We belong to Him. He loves us. We are sons and daughters. But what He wants us to do is relinquish our will to Him and let Him shape us into the image of Jesus Christ so He can use us in the kingdom, and it's to promote the growth of the kingdom that more people will come to Christ. When the church acts like idiots, people say, I don't need to go there. I can get drunk and be stupid. We're called to love one another. Doesn't mean we agree. It's like I've told you can pick your friends, but you stuck where you can. We might as well learn to get along. I can't change you. You can't change me. I'm not called to change you. My call is to make disciples. The Holy Spirit does the changing. My call is to teach you, as the Bible says, to equip you for works of ministry, works that God prepared in advance for you to do. I don't know what works He's prepared for you to do. He doesn't let me in on that. He just says, get them ready. Get them ready so they can hear my voice, and I will show them what I'll have them to do. And you know what he does to you then? He says, now you get these people ready, and I will show them what works I have. Your job in the kingdom of God may be evangelism. It might be to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ right where you live and work. Because see, unlike Christ, I can't be everywhere at once. There are people you can influence I cannot. Instead of focusing on what we disagree on in the church, let's focus on what we agree on, and that's Jesus Christ. Let's focus on ministering in His name and making disciples for Him. Paul said this is a worthy manner that you should walk in, because Christ has done all this for us, and He didn't do it for us just so you and I could be saved and say, bless God, I'm a Christian. He did it so we could make disciples, and they could make disciples, and they could make disciples. It's for His glory, not mine, not for yours. We need to get along. I'm not saying that we'll never disagree. But when we disagree, what do? We do what Christ says. We don't choose sides and build walls and line up to have a big war within the church. We humble ourselves. We pray and we seek God's face and say, what do you want us to do? God wants us to grow up into Christ so we may attain unity of faith and knowledge. Remember something. When He speaks about knowledge of Christ, He's talking about experiencing Jesus Christ. God wants you and I to grow up in unity of faith and to experience Jesus Christ. A lot of people in the church know about Him. They just don't know Him yet. They need to know Him, experience Him. I'm going to tell you what, when you start experiencing Christ, He changes your life forever. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. Remember in His high priestly prayer, Jesus said, Father, I want those You've given Me to have eternal life, and this is eternal life, that they might know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. We're to grow up into that. Do you get that? It says that's God's will for you and I, is to grow into a unity of faith together and to grow into a knowledge of Christ together, to know Him. What a God. He says, I don't want you just to know about Me. I want you to know Me. I want you to experience Me heart to heart. Man, what a privilege. I want to close with a passage from Philippians. And this gets me every time I read it. I mean, it gets to me. I think, yeah, I agree with this. Paul says, talking of Christ, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ has made me His own. Oh, I love that. In one translation, Paul says, Christ has captured my heart, and I want to capture Him. I want the same goal as Him. I want His visions. I want His heart when it comes to the lost, when it comes to the church. That's what I pray a lot. Give me Your heart, Lord. Let me see these people as You see them, lost and saved both. Because as you come to know Christ, you can't help but see people that way. And Paul said, I am straining to reach the resurrection of the dead. He's not talking about the resurrection when all the graves will open. That's a give me. We're all going to be raised. Paul's talking about that spiritual resurrection in Jesus Christ. Because Paul's saying, quite frankly, sometimes there's still some dead things in my life that dominate me, it seems like. And he says, I want to attain to that resurrection. Jesus said, the hour is coming, it's here right now, when they who hear the voice of the Son of God shall live. Hear means respond to. Not just hear, oh, I hear Jesus. It means I respond to Jesus. I do what He says. And Jesus said, you'll live. And that's what Paul's saying to the Philippian church. He said, Jesus Christ just captured my heart, and I'm willing to suffer for Him because I want to live. I want to live that resurrected new life in Christ. I want to live like a child of God. I want to experience the mind of my Lord and Savior so I can be an effective tool in the kingdom. You know, when we do that, we never doubt what we're doing. There's no doubts. The church needs to become like Jesus and look and see where He's working and just step in and work with Him. That's what He's asking us to do. We can't do that unless we're discerning in the Holy Spirit. Paul said we become like children and we'll jump into any new doctrine, any new wave, anything that looks good or glitters or makes us think, ooh, this might be spiritual. And Paul said God can't use you like that. Satan will offer those things to you, and you need to be discerning enough in the Spirit to say, no, that's not Christ. That's when we can become effective. I love this. Paul said, Christ has captured my heart, and now I want to get a hold of Him. Paul was not a hyper-grace preacher. Paul did not presume that he had it. He said, I don't have it yet, but I'm straining forward. The picture here is in the Greek Olympian Games when they were running towards the finish line, the tape, and they leaned with everything in them. Paul said, I'm leaning forward, I'm straining with everything in me to be the first one to cross that finish line. That's not a passive and compliant attitude, Christian. That's the attitude of a winner. Paul said, I want to win because Christ has captured me. I heard a good sermon a while back, and this preacher talked about the race of life that we're all in. And he said, God gives us all this lane to run in. And He has this course set. And he said, you know what our problem is? We like somebody else's lane. We think we need to get over there and run with them. And he said, you're not where you're supposed to be. God wants you here. He's giving you your own race, and He wants you to win. He's equipped you to win. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Man, I like that. Paul said, I've made a lot of mistakes. I've done a lot of slipping up. I've learned from it, but I don't stay there. Sometimes that's what happens to us Christians. We fail, and that's where we stay. I guess God can never use me. I failed him miserably. Join the club. I think that's why God puts so many of the faults of His saints in the Old Testament to show you that I use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We live in a time, a very exciting time, church, to where God is in us. I've been telling you about that. God is in you. If you are a child of God, He resides in you. He lives in you. He says, I will be your God and you shall be my child. Now He's saying, act like it. Act like you're my child. Desire to be my child. Desire to grow in grace and to grow up, the Bible says, into the head who is Jesus Christ. Ever straining, ever reaching, as Paul said. Never satisfied. Anytime, Christian, you think you've reached it, you need to go back and start all over again, I think, sometime. You know, when you think you've reached maturity, you think you've reached where you need to be, I think you better be looking around. Something's wrong. Unity is done on purpose and with purpose. Has Jesus Christ captured your heart, your imagination, your thoughts, everything in you? Ask yourself that. Am I captured like Paul? You know what I love about the Apostle Paul? I read about Saul of Tarsus, the murderer, the blasphemer, the hater of the church. And he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and he became one of the greatest missionaries the church has ever known. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and everything Paul had to say all pointed back to Jesus Christ. That became the focal point of his life. He told Timothy, I was a murderer, I was a blasphemer, but God had mercy on me. He can do the same for you if you're here this morning and you've never called on